Hello and welcome to the wild wormhole, where just like the card, you never quite know what you're going to get, much like the news today, big KeyForge news. So we had to record a podcast. I'm here not with Jimbo, Jim Braden, Jay Bray. I'm here with the original, the elusive, the one and only podcast
the legend.
Trash legend himself, Jay Jeremiah from Jay episode Trash. Zero. From episode zero, Jay Trash is back on the podcast. What's up?
Where's Mike? He was on episode zero, I think, too.
We're yeah, we both know
Rebel Spy.
We both know Mike the Rebel Spy wouldn't touch this with a 6-foot pole, but
we were just talking about, it's literally probably been over a year or two since I've recorded a podcast, so I'm trying to get all the rust off, put
get
my training wheels
off.
On.
Get those cobwebs yeah. off. Because we got big news today. We got big KeyForge news. Now, before we get in that, I mean, some people might see this pop up on their timeline and be like, what is this crap? What? I don't even remember subscribing to this. Why is it in my feed? But may I remind you,
and then they're gonna hear my voice and they'll be like, oh yeah, that's why
that guy,
I listened to this.
I would love for people to go back to episode zero and listen to the original. I mean, we were recording KeyForge content
before it came out.
Yeah, like the day after Gen Con when they said they were gonna do this game called KeyForge, and we're like, okay, this is us. It was
podcast
us,
time.
It was us and Tiny Grimes, I think.
Especially with like Destiny was dead at that point, and then yeah, we needed something new.
Yep. So I don't know. The news has us all in our feels. Jimbo would have joined us. He's got some other stuff going on, and he has stuff going on tomorrow night too. So he gave us his gentle blessing to go on without him. So
I mean, everyone wants the real Jay anyway, so we'll just just keep on going.
The OG Jay and the I don't even know what we call him.
I don't know.
The stinky ain't sell shoes.
Can't sell shoes. Ugly.
The original double blinks insult. This is Two Insider. Guys, we're here because we got some very sudden, shocking news. I was at work at 4:30, 30 minutes before end of work, and you, out of all people, started texting me this thing like, is this real? Is this actually a thing? And I was like, someone probably catfished Jay again. Here we go. what is this crap? And I'm like in a meeting trying to stay focused, and I read, guys, KeyForge, the IP, has been sold to a new company.
Yep.
I mean, what
company we've never heard of too.
No. Ghost Galaxy.
Galaxy.
Abbreviated GG. Like as in GG FFG.
Is that troll? Did they do that?
I kinda wondered. I'm like, they literally said, good game, we win. Speaking of which, Mike just texted us, the Rebel Spy. He said, wow, that's interesting. it is interesting, Mike. You should have been on the pod. But
good hot take.
Yeah, what
good
a hot take. but okay, let's set the stage here, okay?
Yeah. So what are we looking at, Coach?
All
what's the play-by-play?
So the former CEO of Fantasy Flight Games, Christian
the first one, not Andrew Navarro.
No, yeah, he straight up created FFG. And you know why he created FFG, Jay? Do you know why? Because he thinks people should get together and play games in person.
I can't argue with that.
I mean, he's a gamer who created games, not a company of investors that said, wow, Monopoly can make us bank and get us our vacation homes. It was, I like to make games for people to get together and play games. Now, under his leadership, FFG wasn't perfect. I mean, as with any company, I'm sure any entrepreneur will say, hey, if they could do it a second time, you know, they have all these lessons they can learn. But I played FFG games way before KeyForge, including X-Wing, Imperial Assault, Destiny, all these different things. But X-Wing specifically, at one point, X-Wing was flourishing under Christian Peterson's
oversight.
That game was insane. I mean, and every event I mean, it was packed out. People were showing up. World championships, regional championships. I mean, there were a million podcasts. The game was just exploding, and people were getting together to play. And the organized play support was awesome. I mean, things were flourishing. And then he sold FFG, right? I mean, he cashed out. You can't blame him. I mean, you know, the company was flourishing, so he got a nice payday out of that. And I literally no ill will towards him because, I mean, you know, the American yeah. dream, I guess. But Christian Peterson goes on to buy the FFG Game Center because FFG under Asmodee, as it was bought, you know, decided, hey, we don't really need a game center because we don't actually care about people playing in person. Sorry. Maybe that was a little too savage, but you know what? Here we are.
They don't care about the gamers at all in general. They're just there to make money.
They really don't. I mean, truly. And I don't think they've ever said that they care about the gamer. They've never, you know, lied to us. Like, I think it's been pretty yeah. clear. So they're like, we don't need some like place for people to buy games. So Christian Peterson went and bought the game center where they host all the world championships and then created the Game Center with a Z, which mm-hmm. whatever. And I'm like, that just shows his heart, right? Like, he wants to get people together to play games.
Yeah.
Fast forward to today. Well, no, not fast forward. So KeyForge, you know, hits the pandemic. That's hard. But even in the pandemic, like, Shadow Worlds was going on. Kip, they put on a Shadow Worlds. Team Wild Wormhole made the top 16 of that event. Jay, you didn't play because you're trash and nobody wanted you on the team.
Yeah, I wouldn't have made it a top 16 if I played. I can tell you that right now.
Wouldn't have been top 64, top 128, top 200. I don't know. But we made top 16. Me and Kevin and Jimbo, we did. It was awesome. Had a great time. Even during the pandemic, during hard times, online games were happening. People were psyched about KeyForge. I mean, it was truly really fun. And then,
I think people are still psyched about KeyForge, to be fair, before today.
Yes. Yes, for sure. Then we get this news that the algorithm has been lost. Somebody saved the algorithm locally to their Dell laptop, and they left it at Starbucks, spilled coffee all over it. Algorithm's gone, Jay.
As a software engineer, there's so much to break down there that I just am not going to get into because this isn't a podcast about computer science. But I still don't know what happened. And I don't think we're ever going to find out what happened. I mean, even in this article that was posted, they like allude to it being gone, but it still doesn't make sense.
It's gone. It's just gone. It's disappeared. You know, it's okay, I'll shut up. So algorithm's gone. They can no longer make new decks. They've got this brand new set that's coming, Winds of Exchange. But they can't make decks and they can't print them. And I am so technologically illiterate, I'm not even going to pretend to understand it. But basically, bottom line is bad news, KeyForge. We're on hiatus. Which hiatus is like a curse word in my brain now because it's so nebulous. But we've been waiting, right? There was a talk of like maybe a digital client coming, but stay hopeful, KeyForge fans. It's coming.
When they posted that article, they did post like a whole set that they had designed and everything. So like they were trying to give us a feeling that, you know, maybe it is coming back, and then we like were ghosted for how long?
As long as your ex-girlfriend from high school ghosted you.
Exactly.
Forever. So we've been on break, right? So my personal excitement about KeyForge, you know, I always said from the day one of hiatus, I'm like, you know what? This sucks, but I love this game. I love the concept of the unique deck game. I like the idea of learning a deck that only I have and nobody else has this deck. And it's special to me. I've got this deck with the Saurian Key Charge that people just love and try to buy all the time, and it makes me feel special, right? Like, that's what KeyForge does. So I was never tapping out. I was never selling decks. I was like, I'll wait it out. And it was crickets, crickets, crickets. Nothing. So I really have not thought much about KeyForge, even though I had introduced, in the last couple of years, I had introduced so many people, new players to KeyForge casually, because I work in a college environment. And so college students love the idea of KeyForge. Cheap, easy to get into. There's a lot about it. So
Flesh and Blood comes out. Our brain power and kind of pulls us away.
And flourishes during a pandemic, you know. A game that is literally called Play in the Flesh and Blood, which, and everybody just watches as Legend Story Studios knocks out of the park on relating to content creators and the community. And it's just like, they just put on a freaking clinic on how to do a game well.
Absolutely. Yep. And 100%.
Yeah. So again, I wasn't thinking about, and then today happens. And we find out that Christian Peterson, former CEO of FFG, has created his own game company called Ghost Galaxy. And he has purchased the FFG game, KeyForge, right on back. He now owns the IP again under this brand new studio.
There's a lot of questions that come to mind when you say that, right? So, like, he bought the IP. And there's like RPGs that are coming out for KeyForge from Asmodee. Like, do they not own the rights to that IP anymore? So can they not continue to produce the RPG or the board game that they were coming out with supposedly for KeyForge and all of that kind of stuff? Like, what? This just seems weird to me.
I mean, I'm sure those questions are important to some people. Personally, I didn't know anything about RPG or board game. I just want more KeyForge, the game. I just need more decks. I'm addicted to them. So the story is Christian Peterson is the original, you know, went back years ago. It was him and Richard Garfield at a conference table. I'm filling in, you know, filling between the lines here, right? They're at a conference table, and Richard Garfield's like, Christian, are you ready for your life to change right now? And Christian, in his you know, cool CEO way, was like, you know, Richard, I've seen a lot of great games, but I'm ready. And then Richard Garfield drops the KeyForge deck on the table, says, unique deck game, 36 cards, you're the only person in the world who owns this combination, has a unique name, unique art, all these things. And Christian Peterson's like, oh yeah, we're doing this, we're all in. They partner up and they released KeyForge together, but at the same time, Christian, you know, starts selling the FFG off. We think it's going to be fine. Obviously, it's not. So Christian has now reacquired and kind of reacquainted himself with Richard Garfield, and they are ready. And even Richard Garfield, his quote, I'm going to pull up the quote because this is so good. I want to make sure I read this from Richard Garfield. Yeah. He says, I've enjoyed working with Fantasy Flight and Asmodee. They really put their heart into KeyForge and did an amazing job bringing it to life. It has been disappointing that events conspired to shut it down for so long. It is a delight to see the game now go to a new steward, Ghost Galaxy. And in fact, the very first person I pitched it to, Christian Peterson, we have similar visions for what is possible for KeyForge, and I think we will be able to do great things. I mean, that's music to my ears. Come on. Come on, Jay.
It is. No, like, 100%. And I'm excited to see what they do with it for sure.
So it's back in Christian's hands. And again, I'm just like, man. So apparently they had created this company. The story on the article on keyforging.com, which is apparently the KeyForge website now, the Once and Future KeyForge news article, they talked about how they were already building this studio to sort of be, you know, this new studio who's going to create software to you know, create these software engines to create unique games. Procedurally generate all this
awesome
stuff. Yeah, which is insane. Like, I was like, I don't even understand what that means. But so they were not thinking about KeyForge. But they said, was this, so I'm going to read from the article. Concern for KeyForge and its players, Asmodee approached Ghost Galaxy in late 2021 about acquiring the IP in the game. This was not an easy decision for Asmodee, and it was not a foregone conclusion for us. Ghost Galaxy had been quietly working on its own software suite that would power the next generation of procedurally generated card games, but it was not ready, and a mature game like KeyForge was not what we had in mind for its first voyage. Also, we were not sure what the long release delay had done to the KeyForge player base. Was this complex and ambitious game viable for continued publishing? Yet, we could not help to be impressed by the continued strong fan support for the game and by the wonderful product development that FFG has already undertaken for unreleased KeyForge products such as the Winds of Exchange set. That is not to speak of the gobsmacking 2.7 million registered KeyForge decks. Ultimately, we decided it was worth taking the chance. The acquisition of KeyForge closed in early June 2022, and today we're announcing it to the world. So
awesome.
It's crazy. So yeah, sounds like it wasn't on their radar, but man, I mean, regardless of, like, you know, the time it's going to take to actually see some results, I'm really optimistic about this change. What about you?
Oh, yeah, and I don't know what the turnaround time will actually be. I don't know if it'll be that much longer, considering that they've been working on these types of algorithms already, and it sounds like they have people working for Ghost Galaxy that worked at FFG at the time of creation of KeyForge, so I don't know if it's going to take as long as we think to get this software up and running or not. But this is awesome news, especially since, I mean, getting it away from Asmodee is already a big plus,
yep,
in my opinion.
Yep.
And they sound very excited and enthusiastic about this.
Yep.
Good news all around, I think.
Yeah. I mean, again, having played a game where Christian was in charge and the in-person, the organized play support for it, I have so much confidence. I don't want to, like, be blind, like, oh, it's going to be perfect. Like, they're a new studio. Like, even Legend Student Studios with James White and Flesh and Blood, like, they have not done it perfectly, but they've been transparent, they've communicated, and they talked about, like, hey, they said, hey, there's a lot of decisions to make. I mean, this is a brand new deal. This just happened. So, I mean, we should not expect anything soon. Like, I think realistically, I've seen some reports, like, maybe quarter two of 23, which would be, like, April through June of next year. I think that's fair. I think there's still, I mean, as long as, I think Nathan Stalwart said this, as long as one KeyForge deck has not played another KeyForge deck, there's still space in KeyForge to explore, because that's a brand new experience when you sit down and play that game, which, right, I love about KeyForge.
For sure. And I mean, a year turnaround from this announcement would be, like, really good, I think. I think that would be ideal. That would be really fast turnaround time, I think.
Yeah. So let's be realistic. We're not expecting anything in the next couple months. If you are, that's not what this is about. It's more of, like, we all know. I mean, I think Team Covenant even said, I think they said, like, the release and implementation of KeyForge by FFG was, like, one of the biggest, like, just missed opportunities, I think, for, like, implementing it and executing it well. Like, everyone realized, like, this, the idea is beautiful. The game is beautiful. The uniqueness is beautiful. The execution was just not great.
I think FFG is just notoriously bad at that in general. Because, like, even Destiny being such a great game, like, there was no collectability to the game. There was, like, no, like, Legend Story Studios is doing all of this cool stuff you can do with, like, packs and different types of cards and alt arts and foils, and FFG doesn't do any of that with any of their games. Yeah. So
now, to be fair, Legend Story Studios, like, operated and worked for 4 years before Flesh and Blood came out.
Right.
So I think that's a crucial point here. Like, again, if you're a KeyForge fan, you got to give it time. You got to be patient. Like, do not expect gold, you know, this year.
All the hard stuff is already done. The game's designed.
Yeah.
They already have a whole set to release.
Although they did mention some rules updates that they're working on. So that's interesting.
And I have a sneaking suspicion it's going to be a board limit.
If they want a digital implementation, but they did not mention digital implementation at all.
Yeah.
But yeah.
It is cool, though, that FFG gave them the Winds of Exchange set to release. So that's at least it, that's not just out the window.
Yeah,
with the exchange.
Yeah, for sure. That does help. Like, you're not designing a game, but you're refining, and we'll see like what kind of game developers they can get on. But you know, in the article they talked about, they've got to figure out a software engine for like the logic and rendering module stuff. I don't even pretend to understand.
It's just the algorithm for creating the deck, and then from there you have to take that data and render cards, like the artwork, the point value for like the power, and all the icons on it. There's a algorithm that adds that to the cards, so somebody's not going in Photoshop and adding, you know, the amber icons in the top left, or the additional icons you get from enhancements and stuff like that. There's a software that generates the cards, like the stats and the actual artwork of the card and all the icons that are on it, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, so that's what they lost when the employee with the coffee spilled it on his Dell laptop, right?
Yep.
Okay, cool. So the next thing they talked about was the commercial release plan. They said, given the long hiatus of the game, we need to make some big decisions about how we intend to bring this game back to market, timing, composition, etc. Organized play. This is the third thing on the list. The ability to enjoy KeyForge in person and in context of a fun, competitive scene will be a critical priority for us. I 100% believe them on this. They said, many felt the former organized play program was confusing and spread across too many game variants. We will be looking to streamline, condense competitive KeyForge play.
That's awesome.
Which, yeah, some people, I've seen in Discord, some people are like, wait, does that mean they're getting rid of, like, adaptive, or, like, where you're bidding chains and, like, other things? I don't know. I don't want to even conjecture, or, like, I'm like, I don't care. If it's just Archon and Seal to start and they build that stuff in later, I'm fine. Like, if it makes it more new player friendly. Because the reality is, the game's going to have to appeal to new players to rebuild the player base that was lost. But I hope a lot of the old player base comes back with the allure of a new company in charge. But yes, that remains to be seen.
I'm curious if they're going for more a like hyper competitive scene, like I feel like Flesh and Blood currently has, or if it's going to be more of a casual competitive scene. I'm curious to see what they do with that. I'm thinking they're going to go more like competitive, but
yeah,
I'm
we'll
not
see.
Sure.
I mean, even when Christian Peterson was in charge of FFG, there were never like cash prizes for tournaments. It was always promos and special things. So I don't know. I don't know if you'd change that. Again, I think every game company is probably watching Legend Story Studios, watching how they're killing it in the Flesh and Blood scene, and taking notes. I hope they are, at least. So we'll see. There's stuff about there in there about localized versions and focusing on English language releases just with the small team. Deck registration, player accounts. It will continue at KeyForgeGame.com for the next 6 months until we have the software ready to transition decks and player accounts. So even that tells me 6 months, like, you know, we're looking at December before we even have software for the company to register. And again, that could be a moving target, but.
And I think this right here, as someone that does tech, this is probably the biggest speed bump and hurdle they have in this transition, and will probably take them the most amount of time, is taking all the decks that already exist, getting that database, getting all the players and their associated decks, and anything else associated with the player account and the decks itself, into a new system, and just linking all of that stuff. Like, that sounds like so much work behind the scenes that is gonna be like probably their biggest thing that takes them the longest amount of time.
Yeah, Jay, I feel like you're applying for a job right now. You I bet they're hiring. You could just, you know,
I wish,
go work for GG. sign all your emails, GG everybody. And then this last point, they put player communications. They said, we will be working to provide players with frequent communications related to our KeyForge plans. Again, more music to my ears. We'll see if that happens. Including previews of new products, such as Winds of Exchange, game rules updates, ding ding, mm-hmm. and other information. We hope to create an FAQ for the KeyForge transition in the days to come. And then they invite you to send your questions for and concerns or ideas at this message tool, which you know D-House has already done. So
let's go.
I told them to consider valuing a content creator program similar to Legend Story Studios, where you actually acknowledge the existence of your content creators, unlike former companies.
For sure.
Where you get, I mean, truly, you get free marketing in exchange for, like, what, a couple promos or, a schedule. Like, you just, it feels like low-hanging fruit to me that it blows my mind when companies don't take advantage of this free marketing that they can get through content creators like that ominous presence over there, that trash Call of Discovery, Zach Armstrong and Ed Potok. I mean, I don't know why anyone would trust those guys. Honestly, if it were me, I would not personally. I would avoid them at all costs. But, you know, if a company's got to do what you got to do, then sure. Involve them too. Yep. But definitely start with Wild Wormhole, and then you can move to the COD guys.
I do wonder, tangent off of that, back at the deck registration player account stuff, I do wonder if... like all of the amber and keys that you got for scanning decks in that you were supposed to put towards like prize support that apparently like no one ever was able to do.
Yeah.
If that's just like out the window, probably. Right.
I feel like that was like the worst prank that FFG ever pulled. Great idea. Terrible execution.
And they probably factored in to the cost of like creating decks how much they would have to spend to get prizes for people that like spent money on decks, so they just pocketed all that extra money, all those margins that they never had to spend.
They just lost so much trust. And I am no stranger to criticizing Fantasy Flight Games. I have played so many of their games at this point. I mean, I have given them so much of my money. Like, part of me is like, you know what? I've paid for the right to criticize, but
I still play them.
Yeah, they make great games. That's the. I mean, they just truly do make great games. It's the.
I'm
other
just
stuff
gonna be just, doing the competitive or the cooperative games from now on. I'm not getting into them.
I mean, I love Marvel Champions. Like, I really do. I play it constantly. Like, it has been, yeah. Honestly, great. But I think about, you know, like organized play teams, like when Alex Watkins stepped in to run organized play over there, and then it was like, hey, we've got this Vault Warrior series with cash tournaments and this like very robust plan for organized play. I mean, the community lit up. It was so exciting. And like, mm-hmm. I mean, people were buying decks and the secondary market was flourishing, which we know, like if a game's going to be successful, the secondary market needs to be like thriving, and I think it was. And then, you know, I think some of the vision of the employees didn't match Asmodee and some of the overlords over there, and it just did not ever happen. And like, now it's an ongoing joke. And but I do have to give a quick shout out, I don't know how to say his name, but Joel Kerr 42. I apologize, I don't know how to say your name, but he literally started running like his own like online Vault Warrior series on the Crucible using his own cash. He won't even take donations to pay for it. He just sells decks and uses that money. But he's been running cash Vault Warrior tournaments online to make up for this, and I just got to give him serious props for even doing.
Yeah,
like,
that's awesome.
I mean, that's some serious commitment. And like, if KeyForge survives through this hiatus in this new company, it's going to be because of guys like him and other content mm-hmm. creators who just kept help from future self, never missed a week. Like, they just kept releasing content. I mean, I got to admire the commitment, because as a content creator, it is hard to keep going when the company itself isn't going. So, well done, everybody.
Or the game itself isn't going.
Yeah, I mean, all the above. So, I just, you know, all the things that could have been. Maybe I've got some, you know, rose-colored goggles that I'm looking through right now, but I am optimistic.
Yeah, and I mean, I think you have good reason to be.
And a good reason to use these 100+, you know, decks that I have sitting collecting dust, you know.
Oh, yeah, I was going to ask you about that. You mentioned that, like, secondary market needs to be thriving. What do you think the secondary market looks like for Keyforge? Like, I didn't really ever get into the secondary market for Keyforge, so how was it, and how do you think it'll be going forward, do you think?
I mean, decks of Keyforge unlocked, you know, the secondary market. I mean, the ability to list decks and communicate. I bought several decks from there, never any big ones, but I mean, there were some pretty significant huge decks that were bought on decks of Keyforge, you know, when the game was at its, like, when it was just, like, really thriving.
Right.
And I mean, I scrolled daily, honestly. Me, like, Jim did, our buddy Kevin, like, daily looking for new decks or, like, diamonds in the rough that could be a good adaptive deck or a good reversal deck. I mean, just like all the variant, all the formats, like, made it possible to, like, really chase that. I loved it. I love scrolling through decks and looking for a specific combo, and was always ready to, like, yeah, to, like, really, you know, I would personally, like, I never paid, I think, more than $50 for a deck, but other guys would definitely pay more than that. But I mean, it was. I think it was thriving, and there's still, like, I'm even on decks of Keyforge right now. Like, people are still selling decks, and, you know, and I think that'll probably just maybe get reinvigorated of, like, I, you know, of looking for those combos that people really love. So,
yeah.
Sweet. Yeah. I think it's great.
There's some other big news. Another article that was posted. Do you want to dive into that?
Heck yeah. So not only did we get this sweet announcement, but we got a little little spoiler article for the next set.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
kind of... It was pretty cool, too.
Yeah. I mean, they didn't have to do that. They could have just said, hey, we got this new thing going. And then, but they also gave us these cool little cards and sort of like the special little, I don't know, the cool mechanic that's coming in this next set. So
they actually revealed the six houses that will be in there too subsequently by showing this. Just realized that.
Yeah. So the new mechanic is all about the tokens and the new house of the merchant compacts of Equidon. Or is that the name of the house? Maybe I said that. Maybe that's the wrong. It was hard.
Merchant compacts of Equidon. Yeah, that's right.
Okay. So we call it Equidon? I'm like, I'm sort of confused. That's a long name.
Merchants. Or merchants. Just call them merchants, yeah.
The merchants.
The dinos, the merchants, the aliens, you know.
So, yeah. So Mars is returning. We know that. And these like token creatures are coming. So let me read their description. Token creatures are the central theme to Winds of Exchange, and every deck from that set will include one token creature reference card. They did talk about how like every deck coming from Keyforge would have 38 cards. So you have your 36 cards, you have your deck list, and then a 38th card, which for Dark Tidings was like the Tide card. And so we wonder, what's the 38th card? Well, I think we just discovered it's a token. When a card effect instructs a player to make a token creature such as Mark II Generator, the player puts the top card of their deck face down in their battle line to represent that token creature. In a similar way, a card effect such as Space Invaders can put creatures from your hand into play face down as token creatures. For example, here are three different token creatures from the Mars house. So it shows three different creatures. There's a generic three power Mars creature called Grunt, has no text, has a one power creature called Rebel, has Reap, deal one damage to a creature, and then a one power creature named Scientist with an Omni effect, reveal a Mars card from your hand and archive it. Each deck's token creature is selected during the deck generation process like this. First, the deck's three houses are randomly chosen. Then one token creature is randomly chosen from among all available token creatures within the deck's three houses. So basically, yeah, so these token creatures are going to come in and affect sort of like what the deck can do. So you might have some good cards and a bad token, or you might have some bad cards and a good token. But there's definitely some interactions that come, and then they actually have a bunch of like token cards from each of the houses, which are Brobnar, Merchants, Sanctum, Saurian, Star Alliance, and Unfathomable, including Mars. So we have our seven houses there. So yeah, what do you think?
I think this is sick. Especially like Blorb is so cool. It's a artifact that you can play. And it says destroy friendly creature.
Blorb Hive.
Blorb Hive. Destroy a friendly creature if you do make two Blorbs, and if you control 10 or more Blorbs, destroy Blorb Hive and forge a key at no cost. So you're basically like destroying a friendly creature, creating two of these tokens that are just ones, and they can't reap. And if they're destroyed, you return the Blorb Hive from your discard pile to your hand. But you want to just get a board of 10 of these guys, and then once you have 10, you can forge a key. That's pretty awesome, and they look hilarious.
Yeah, it definitely is. Like, I miss some of like the humor of like Keyforge, and this is the kind of like lighthearted stuff that I'm like, oh, I love this. Seems really hard to pull off, but key cheats should be hard to pull off. Like, especially if you have like, if your opponent has any artifact control, but you know, you could say that about other key cheats. Yeah, I love this.
This is the first time we're really getting to see any merchant stuff too, right? And there's only one card, and it's a token, and it says it's a one power action, steal one and destroy merchant. So I wonder if it's going to be along the lines of like a steely, or it's definitely going to be along the lines of like getting amber, a lot of amber, right? Like,
yep.
That would be their specialty. It's selling things to get amber, or stealing, or bribing, or something like that. Yep. Bargaining.
Now, there is, on the main page on keyforging.com, there is a merchant card, a creature, that they revealed. So it's like sort of like a sneaky spoiler. But it's called the Old Tinker, 3-power elusive. Reap, discard a card from your hand, draw a card.
Oh, nice.
Which is pretty sweet. But yeah, so, and I even just noticed the Keyforge brand. It says Keyforge, the unique card game. Like, I think that's a little bit change of like the old branding, like the unique deck game, or I forget like the old branding, like what they would say, but it was like the unique card game. I was like, that's probably better branding in my mind of thinking the unique card game versus the unique deck card game. Because every deck should be unique. But anyways, that's, you know, semantics. But anyways, I don't know, man. That's pretty stinking exciting to me.
Yeah, no, this is... And I think this mechanic is really cool. Like, it adds even more diversity to, like, you might get a super good deck, but then you got, like, this Mars... say you get a really good deck that has Mars, but then you get the Grunt... And the Grunt's fine, but I feel like he's probably like the least interesting token out of all the ones that we've seen.
Yeah.
So it's like, you got a sweet deck, but you got the Grunt.
Yeah, a lot of the tokens are like 1 or 2 power. The Grunt is the only above 2 that we've seen in this article.
Yeah, and he might be super good. Yeah. I don't know. But like, depending on how many tokens you're able to spawn, it would be cool to see. I don't know. It's really interesting, like, mechanic-wise to, like, have this card off to the side, and then you can spawn, like, 10 of them, like, the Blorbs or whatever. But then at the same time, now that I'm thinking about it, looking at a field of all cards that are turned upside down, it's like, what does that look like? Is that kind of lame-looking or what?
Yeah, but, yeah. Although I feel like it'd be pretty easy. I mean, I don't know. I guess there's – I don't know how many tokens are in each house, but I could imagine – very easily creating some kind of, like, someone out there is going to create either alt art cards or even like 3D print, like this goblin Bobnar, like, you know, this little Bobnar, 2-powered skirmish, that's it. Like, I could see someone creating some kind of goblin something, or I don't know. There's some stuff that people out in the community like love to tinker with, and
so maybe that's actually a good thing. It adds a secondary market for being able to create these cool alt arts that you can use for your deck to instead of, like, you can put them on top of a card that's face down, so it's not just the back of a sleeve or something.
Yeah. Yep. But yeah. So I mean, all right. So I mean, Jay, you weren't playing a ton of Keyforge right before the hiatus announcement. So, you know, for someone like you who played a lot of KeyForge when the game released and then maybe cooled a little bit, like, what, you know, what could Ghost Galaxy do to, like, make it interesting enough that you would spend time playing on the Crucible or showing up to tournaments or, you know, traveling for a big event? What do you want to see from the company?
That's a good question, and probably not an easy one to ask or to answer. I mean, especially, like, I was on a hiatus from all card games pretty much until probably a few months ago when I started playing Flesh and Blood, and even then I just kind of dabbled in it for a while, and then, like, now I'm, like, super into it. But I don't know what exactly it is about the organized play for Flesh and Blood that gets me excited. Like, I enjoy going to armories or other large events. I don't know, because I mean, even armories and stuff, you don't get, like, super cool prizes. I mean, sometimes you can. I got a mat the other night, that was pretty sweet, but I mean, KeyForge did that before, so I'm trying to think of what they could do organized play wise that might get more players out.
Yeah,
and I don't have an answer for that.
Okay, that's fair.
But I mean, this announcement has me hype now that I'm back into card games, because I always did enjoy playing KeyForge, and it's super unique in its mechanics, right? So it's not just like attacking your opponent's health points, it's more of a race and controlling board states and knowing when to, you know, build up for certain turns and such as that. And I'm excited to get back into it.
Yeah, I've mentioned that on this podcast too, but I have truly taught KeyForge and introduced, I mean, probably 30 to 40 people to KeyForge who play casually, or who did at least before the everything. And honestly, it is such an easy selling point to be like, this is basically Mario Kart the card game. Like, instead of three laps, you're trying to get three keys and you're playing dirty while you're racing. Like, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
It's such an easy sell to, like, and all you have to do is pay $10 and, I mean, you have your own deck that nobody else has, and it's unique to you in the world. Like, because I love Flesh and Blood, but I don't know how to introduce new people to it, because I'm like, okay, so, you know, we could play Commoner, or we could play Blitz, but, like, if you really want to do this, you still have to invest some money, which maybe KeyForge, maybe that's the lie. Like, if you want to be competitive at the high events, like, you might have to invest in some bigger decks or some powerful decks.
Right.
But it never feels that way. Whereas, like, I feel when I'm like, I don't have a legendary card in Flesh and Blood, and I'm like, oh,
right.
I feel like I can't even show up for a tournament because this would be embarrassing, versus, like, you know, your special pet deck that you love that nobody else has played against. I totally get what you're saying. And honestly, I think at the end of the day for me, if I were to answer that question, like, it's all about the people who play the game, the community. Like, if I'm going to travel to go play in Worlds or play in a big event, like, I want to know that if I play terribly and I lose all my games, that I'm still going to have so much fun, it'll be worth the money. You know what I mean? And, like, that's what we experienced with Star Wars Destiny. Like 2018, the Destiny World Championships was some of the most fun I've ever had playing games. And because you were there, and Mike was there, and Chris was there, and I mean, it was just like absolute insanity and for days.
We won the team Destiny event.
I wasn't there yet. You guys won it.
Me, Mike, and Chris, I guess.
You, Mike, and Chris, and I was very proud of you guys. So that's why I had to go make top eight for World Championships. Humble brag, but sorry, I had to throw that out there. It just honestly, even if that didn't happen, even if I didn't top eight that tournament, like, I truly, like, would look back on that weekend as, like, you know, one of the most fun weekends I've ever had in my life. And, like, I think that's the same with KeyForge. If they can create that kind of atmosphere, like, I'm all in. Like, let's do it. You know, and I mean, having online play, I think, is super important. So, like, all these community members who have, like, kept things going, and, you know, like, the Kip guys who hosted Shadow Worlds, and Joker, who's been doing these Fault Warrior tournaments, and, like, And Mortavas and Aurora and like all these different people who have like really, I'm sure there are some I'm forgetting at the moment. I apologize. I don't mean any offense, but like there's just so many people who have worked hard to keep this game going behind the scenes. And I hope Ghost Galaxy recognizes like that. I mean, the community is Keyforge. Like it's not Keyforge and then the community second. Like community, Keyforge is the community. And if they can tap into that and use the community, use the content creators and like create that fun that, you know, we experienced. Like Keyforge never got a world championship, you know? Like that is tragic, you know?
Because it really is.
Because of COVID and all this stuff. So it's just I hope that they can create that kind of environment and you know, if they listen, which I don't know if they will ever listen to this, but I am ready to like usher in this new stage if they need help. So, and I know a lot of content creators out there who have been holding down the fort while I've been snoozing are ready to do that too. So,
I do know one thing that I would like them to do. It's not organized play wise, but it's product wise. Add foils. Add random foils and decks and stuff like that.
I mean, come on. Yeah, the chase would be so real. If you didn't just have all a darts. Unique deck, but you had a foil, you know, what was that? The Blorb. If you had a foil Blorb or Blorb right. Hive. I mean, just, again, the secondary market is so important. I have no idea what that does to the algorithm. Like, maybe that's impossible. I genuinely don't know. But dear goodness, if like there were chase foils in decks that would like
it shouldn't add that much to the algorithm, to be honest with you, because it's probably more so the actual production of the game that is affected.
I mean, so it's like if it's possible, like that's the kind of weird things that like it's like the game outside the game of like I'm gonna chase down this foil, like I need a foil NARP. Like if there were foil wild wormholes, you know, I'd be paying money for that.
100%.
Like, come on. We always talked about it before the hiatus, but like this just, it feels like an easy win to like for the collectors out there and for the non-competitive people who just like to collect decks who want to have that. I mean, oh gosh.
I wonder if there's a way. So like decks come with, this might be a really bad idea. I don't know. Decks come with foils or whatever, right? But then like you have a deck that has a card list, and what if you could pool foils from other decks to replace the same card in that deck list so that you can have more foils in that deck list? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Even though it doesn't have the name of the actual
sure.
deck. I wonder if that would be something.
Casually that'd be really fun. You'd have to like watch that like competitively, but that would be sweet. I mean, honestly, if every deck had a foil, I don't know if decks were $10, would you pay $12? You know, to like, you know, if you were guaranteed a foil, I don't know. I'm not gonna like assume for people. And some people be like, that's stupid. Some people are like, I'd pay $20. I don't know, but. I think that'd be super fun to be like, okay, not only what's unique in my deck, but like what's the foil I got,
right?
Because again, it's like it is completely unique to you because it has your deck name on it and it has your deck art and like all these things. Like, I mean, just the collectors would just come out of the, you know,
they could do some crazy, like LSS has done some really cool stuff that they've done. They could do some crazy stuff with Keyforge, like alt arts for characters, foils for cards. Some have five foils, some have one foil. They could even do a deck that has all foils, and it's like one in every 1,000 decks is all foils. Like, that would be sick.
Yeah. Gosh, man. Nah, okay. Well, I won't get my hopes up because now I'm like, dang, this is so cool. But I don't know. That is so cool. I would just love to see that. That. It always felt like it was missing. I didn't realize how much. I mean, because I did Pokemon as a kid and did a lot of that and, like, opened up a foil. It's like, oh, that's really cool. I didn't think I cared about that as an adult. And then I started playing Flesh and Blood, and I'm like, what's my foil? What's my foil? What's my foil? like, I'm 34. I shouldn't care about shiny things, and here I am, you know?
Especially since, like, FFG has trained us in the last several years that, like, foils don't exist. Because Destiny didn't have them. Keyforge didn't have them. All the cooperative games that we play from them that have them, Legend of the Five Rings, I mean, any of the LCGs, it's like, that didn't exist. So, now we're playing a game that has them, and they're like doing it really well. So it's like super chase.
Yep. I love it so much. Darn it. Well, man, I don't know about you, but like I'm just like ready to fire up the Crucible Online.
Play yeah, some dude, games. It's still going, right?
I've got coworkers who have been asking me like, "Hey, when are we gonna play KeyForge?" Because they don't play competitive. They don't follow all this news. They're just like, they have some decks that I gave them, mm-hmm. and they're like, "When are we playing this?" So I was like, internally, I was like, "I don't really want to." Not because I don't like the game, but I'm like, I need that kind of next thing to like keep my interest. Yeah. And so now I'm like, I already texted all my coworkers. I've got like six coworkers who have played KeyForge with me, and I'm like, okay, it's game on. Let's do this.
Yeah, no, I'm totally hyped about this. I'm probably going to fire up and do some sealed on the Crucible since that's a thing now, right?
Are we gonna start streaming on Twitch? Is that a promise? Is that a guarantee?
I mean, you never know.
I love that. I do love sealed.
I mean, you got me in here for a podcast, so I mean, stranger things do happen.
I mean, yeah. I honestly was thinking I recorded all the Shadow Worlds games and posted the games on YouTube, and I kind of want to go back and watch all the Shadow, because that was some of my best KeyForge I have ever played.
Nice.
And I kind of want to go back and just like relive those glory days. That was really fun. But so yeah, I mean, as far as the future of the Wild Wormhole, I'm not gonna make any promises, but if they keep releasing good articles that are interesting and it's worth, you know, reporting on, like, I just want it to be valuable. I don't ever want to do content just to, you know, do content. It's a lot of work for just doing content, but
so you'll hear back from us in about a year when they release the game.
Yeah, so June 2023. I don't even know when the last Wild Wormhole episode went live. Like, no clue. So,
probably last time Jedi Trials went live. That's a throwback right there.
Yeah, y'all can look up the old Jedi Trials. Actually, you want to go further back? Go to Stay on Target, my X-Wing podcast.
Oh man,
and enjoy
that's
that.
That's real stank right
that's
there.
That's some real stuff right there. But yeah, man, how about we end this and then go play a game on the Crucible? Yeah. What do you think?
Sounds good to me.
All right. final thoughts?
We're excited. GG.
I can feel it. Ghost Galaxy. We're excited. GG. GG, everybody. That's the new Wild Wormhole sign-off. Like, in GG, we trust. So, Mr. Peterson, good luck, sir. If you ever listen to this, we're rooting for you. Yeah, drop us a line if you ever want some free marketing. That's why we're here. So, yeah, and we need more Wild Wormhole. I hope if Wild Wormhole is not in Winds of Exchange, we need to add that immediately. Okay.
Is Logos in Winds of Exchange?
It is not, but that doesn't mean Wild Wormhole can't be.
Oh, that's true. I'm going to be searching for that legacy deck.
Yeah, come on. Give me some Maverick legacies. That's necessary.
That's possible, right?
Yeah, 100%.
Okay. Yeah, so that's the only deck I can ever run has to have Wild Wormhole in it. So from now on.
Obviously. All right. Well, that'll do it for the Wild Wormhole episode, whatever. Thanks for tuning in. Maybe you'll see us again. Who knows? Time will tell. But long live KeyForge.
King Potato.
King Potato. Wait, we should have done a King Potato. What are we doing?
We didn't have one. I mean,
what a stupid, like, I'm like so angry.
Do you have
at myself.
A list of them?
Oh my gosh, how could we not do King Potato? That is Wild Wormhole. Everybody just hold your breath for just 1 second because I just.
Do you actually have a list of names?
I'm just pulling some stuff up.
People have probably tuned out by now.
Well, for the ones who are actually there,
for the real listeners. Yeah. Now that the fake ending is done.
If I give you houses, if I give you a deck name, do you even remember the names of all the houses? I mean, it's been a minute for you.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. The only one I don't know the name of is the new one.
I'm ready. I got a great one. Okay.
All right, let's
see. And this is from Call of the Archons, so this should be easy for you because it's the original set, okay?
Sweet.
Okay, now if you're new to the Wild Wormhole and you just discovered KeyForge, we call it King Potato because Richard Garfield, one of the things he was most proud of with KeyForge was the unique names of each deck that made him laugh, including a deck called King Potato. So we then, and all the name is generated based on the houses of the deck. So we play a little game here on Wild Wormhole where we give the other host the name of a deck, and they have to guess what houses generated the name of the deck based on the name of the deck. So are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. Again, this is from Coda, so that tells you the houses, the seven houses. The name of this deck is Figner, the Crook of Carnivals. Figner, the Crook of Carnivals. This guy literally goes around. He finds those carnivals in mall parking lots.
And steals.
And he walks around and he steals little quarters from the basketball Papa Shot and the dangerous Lego roller coaster that they just put together earlier that day. So he's the crook of the crook of carnivals. So if you were Figner, the Crook of Carnivals, what houses would you fall from, Jay?
So if there isn't a shadow, if shadows isn't in that three, then this is a total gotcha name. 100%. This is like, you knew I would pick shadows. So definitely that.
Okay.
Carnivals and what is, what house would have anything to do with carnivals? I'm going to go with Brobnar. Because of the first guy's, the name of the character that we're talking about. Yep. What is the name?
Figner.
Can you try to say it again?
Figner. Figner. Fignor. Fignor.
That sounds kind of Brobnar-y, so I'm going to go with Brobnar. Brobnar shadows. I still don't know about carnivals. Let's go with Logos, maybe? Sure. We'll go with Logos. What other houses are there? There's Mars, Untamed. Maybe Untamed?
I'm reserving all commentary until you submit your final.
I'll go Logos. Brobnar, Shadows, Logos.
All right, Brobnar, Shadows, Logos. Okay, so, Jay, this deck has Shadows.
Okay.
So, well done. Okay. Low-hanging fruit, but that's cool. It has Logos, which...
Nice.
I don't know how you guessed Logos from that, but, you know. And the final house is... Dis.
Ugh.
No Brobnar, just Dis. You know.
I don't know where the Dis came from in there.
It's probably Dis, because those are like the demons from hell, and a Crook of Carnivals is probably going to hell.
Oh, yeah. That's good.
I got there.
Yeah.
I got there. Yeah, I have no
idea. Well, it's like a scary, like carnivals can be kind of scary.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, it gives me nightmares.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So you were so close. 2 out of 3, man. I mean, you know.
I mean, I haven't lost it. Wow. Let's just say it.
not to brag, but I am still the only member of this four-member podcast that has successfully guessed King Potato. I need to re-release that episode just to brag a little bit more, but this is actually the fourth highest rated SAS deck on Decks of KeyForge.
Holy crap.
It is 105 SAS.
Where do I buy this deck?
I don't think it's for sale. But it has 72 likes, 22 smiles, which I don't really know what that is. It's been around for a minute, so it looks, I'm crazy. Looking at it, Rise, Control the Weak, Gateway, Double Snudge, then you got Help for Future Self, a Wild Wormhole, of course, because that is the best card in the game.
Literally.
Double Mother, Time Traveler, Shadows, you got Bait and Switch, Double Miasma, Too Much to Protect, you know, classic Coda nastiness, you know?
It just sounds, yeah, so degenerate.
The Crook of Carnivals, there you go. Okay, now we have completed a Wild Wormhole podcast right at an hour. We're ready to sign off. Jay,
beautiful.
It's been a pleasure, even though you're trash.
Bye.
See ya.